You discouraged? Listen up to this edition of Key Life.
Hey, if you're into Stuffy, turn off the radio now, because this is Key Life, designed to be honest, straightforward, and street smart. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, leave it open, because I'll be referring to the Bible as we go along. We're talking about God and pain and suffering and broken ropes. And this is from my book, When Your Rope Breaks, published by Baker. You can get it at your bookstore from us. And no, I don't get anything from it. I'm not hustling a buck. It all goes to Key Life. But if we, and we don't make that, we don't do that well anyway. But no, I'm not hustling bucks. And I'm giving a little bit more material than is in the book, but I'm pretty much following the book on Key Life. And we're talking about God and pain and evil and suffering. And we're going to get back in the next 2 or 3 weeks to our Old Testament survey, which we left off to do this subject. And we'll start in Jeremiah. But for now, what I want to do is introduce, and we'll talk a lot more about this next week. I want to introduce the problem of discouragement. Listen, one of the worst things about pain isn't the pain. One of the worst things about pain is the discouragement that follows. My wife, a year ago, went through about 7 months. It was just awful. She was coughing and had a lot of things. We see the doctor, and they found a mass on her lung. The doctor said, "I think it's pneumonia, but we're not sure." So they started giving her antibiotics, and then there were nodules. And then in the course of all this, they talked about some surgery and steroid. I mean, it was just an awful time. Now, a lot of you prayed, and I appreciate that. And she's 100% now. She's fine. She's doing really, really good, and all that's over, and it's behind us, and we're glad, and we learned a lot through it. But you know what was, after being 7 months, a lot of those months she spent in bed. I mean, she wanted to get up, and she couldn't. She just didn't have any energy. Then the pneumonia cleared up in her lungs, and it was gone. And she still was down. And we began to realize what was happening, that was worse than the bad stuff that was happening with the pneumonia. That happens a lot. When people go through really difficult times and their rope breaks and they go through pain and suffering, sometimes what follows or what goes on during that time emotionally is worse than the actual problem itself. Charles Spurgeon often dealt with the problem of discouragement. Let me read you something that he told his students. This is from his book, Lectures to My Students. And if you're a pastor and don't have that in your library, you ought to get it. It's still in print. This is what he told his students. "One crushing stroke has sometimes laid the minister very low. The brother most relied upon becomes a traitor. Judas lifts up his heel against the man who trusted him, and the preacher's heart for the moment fails him. Strife also, and division, and slander, and foolish censures have often laid holy men prostrate, made them go as with a sword in their bones. Hard words wound some delicate minds very keenly. By experience, the soul is hardened to the rough blows which are inevitable in our warfare. But at first, these things utterly stagger us and send us to our homes wrapped in a horror of great darkness. When troubles multiply and discouragements follow each other in a long succession, like Job's messengers, then too, amid the pain of the soul occasioned by evil tidings, despondency despoils the heart of all its peace." Does this sound familiar? You know, the great thing about Spurgeon, is that there's such identification, because he went through periods of great depression. Listen to this. "Constant dropping wears away stones, and the bravest minds feel the fret of repeated afflictions. If a scanty cupboard is rendered as severer trial by the sickness of a wife or the loss of a child, and if ungenerous remarks of hearers are followed by the opposition of deacons and coolness of members, then like Jacob, we are apt to cry, 'All these things are against me.'" I keep saying, just quit. That's a long enough quote. But let me keep on reading, because, I mean, you see the greatness of Spurgeon. accumulated distresses increase each other's weight. They play into each other's hands and, like bands of robbers, ruthlessly destroy our comfort. Wave upon wave is severe work for the strongest swimmer. The place where two seas meet strains the most seaworthy. If there were a regulated pause between the buffetings of adversity, the spirit would stand prepared. But when they come suddenly and heavily, like the battering of great hailstones, the pilgrim may well be amazed. The last ounce is laid upon us. What wonder if we, for a while, are ready to give up the ghost? Spurgeon had been there. Man, he knew. Did you know that in Spurgeon's life that there was a fire in a church where he once preached and somebody was killed? Or maybe it was a balcony that fell, but something bad like that. That haunted him the rest of his life. And there were literally months when he couldn't preach because he was depressed. You say, well, he must not have been a Christian. Nonsense. That's from the pit of hell. Smells like smoke. Spurgeon was probably the finest expositor of God's words in the last 200 years. Spurgeon, of course, was talking to ministers in that passage I read you, but everyone can identify with his comments. One of the great problems with broken ropes and pain and suffering is the inevitable discouragement which follows. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the demon of discouragement? Well, let's talk about it. One of the keys to dealing with discouragement is found in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Let me read it to you. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, the writer of Hebrews first suggests that we are surrounded by witnesses. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, to put it into context, lists a number of Old Testament characters who endured great suffering and who persevered because of their faith. You talk about people that are really in trouble. The writer ends that chapter talking about the people of God who were mocked and beaten, who were stoned and imprisoned, who were sawn in half, who had no homes. That's Hebrews 11, 36 through 39. And the 12th chapter of Hebrews opens by saying that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. That is, hey, you're not by yourself. If you're going through pain and suffering, look at the pain and suffering of others who have gone through on and to complete their race. Be encouraged by them. The apostle, I'll tell you, I'm having trouble talking, but I'm doing the best I can. The apostle Paul wrote the Corinthians and Corinth about the trials he and his friends had experienced. And this is 2 Corinthians 1:8. He said the trials were so bad that they despaired of even life itself. I wouldn't wish that kind of hurt on anyone, but I'm glad Paul went through it. It makes me feel better about my own discouragement. Discouragement, you see, is almost always marked by feelings of aloneness. You feel that no one could possibly understand. Nobody could possibly have had the kind of troubles you had. No one could possibly be as discouraged as you are at the moment. And it helps. Now, it's not a total cure. We're going to talk more about it next week. But you know something, it helps sometimes to remember that others have indeed shared the occasion of suffering. The old spiritual says, when I've done the best I can and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. But you see, all of your friends don't misunderstand. You just think they do. Throughout the history of the church, Christians have gone through difficulty and pain and suffering. Discouragement is a part of living. You're not ugly. Your mother doesn't dress you funny. You are a human being. In the early part of the 16th century, a man by the name of Thomas Bilney became convinced of the need for the Bible in the lives of believers. Because he was so vocal about those convictions, he was burned at the stake in Norwich, England in 1531. Now, you never heard of him. But let me tell you about somebody you may have heard of. Standing in the crowd on the day Bilney was executed, there was another young man named Hugh Latimer. He was a graduate of Cambridge, and Latimer was so influenced by the life and death of Bilney that he committed his life to the propagation of Bilney's faith. Later, Latimer became a bishop in the church. When Bloody Mary came to the throne, Latimer was among those who were tortured and killed. And while he was dying, he talked to another man by the name of Ridley. "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." Now, where did Latimer get the kind of courage to do what he did? Let me tell you, he got it from Bilney. Whenever he thought about just giving up and quitting, he remembered Bilney dying on that stake, being burned to death. He remembered the courage of Bilney. He remembered that Bilney was just as discouraged and afraid as he was, but he kept on trucking. And Latimer said, "He can, I can. If he did, I will. If the pain was big for him and he got through it, I suspect I can too." And so, when you're discouraged, remember, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. This is how it works. When you give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask to be a part of Key Life Tapes. We do it for you. And every 7 or 8 weeks, you'll start receiving a tape. Not tapes of the broadcast. You have to subscribe to those. And if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible. Reformed Seminary, at the Cove, the Lake Barclay Fellowship. We pick the best of those, and somebody else decides what is best. We send out those tapes to our family. If you'd like to be a part of it, let me know. It's absolutely free, and I really do mean that. But that does not mean that they're free to us. Only a very few people who receive the hundreds of thousands of tapes and pieces of literature that we send out are able to help us financially. And if you could, call me. I would appreciate it so much. I promise we'll be faithful with your gift. I promise we'll squeeze every dime until it screams. So pray about it. And if you can, be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. For any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send along the cassette, The Scandal of the Cross. And oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.